Welcome to Life and Ball Podcast. We give your game life. Special show today. Tyler Hayward is with me per usual. Exciting show for me and Tyler. We've talked about this for a couple of weeks. We've also talked a lot about this off air, wanting to talk more about our high school basketball program. Well, there's no better time now, as Chad Mortimer, our former coach, calls it quits after 3 seasons. Amazing stats I got to read off real quick, Tyler, and then we'll really jump into the show. 453-98. Guy had less than 100 losses in his 23 seasons. Is incredible. 14 conference championships, 18 district titles, which 18 district titles in 23 years is unbelievable. Has to be a record. I think it is. 9 region titles and 3 Final Four. I think, before I hand it over to you, Tyler, I think the thing that I got the most, and I've said this a lot on multiple different things when I talk about my high school basketball experience, I think what I got more than anything was understanding what it took to win. And I think it took work. It took a lot of sacrifice. It took preparation. It took discipline. And the common phrase used out there still is playing the game the right way. The team becomes more important than you. Look, as an individual, I had a lot of goals as a basketball player. There's a lot of things that I wanted to do personally through the sport. What I learned was nothing is bigger than winning championships as a team. So I give that credit always to Chad Mortimer, because without him, that attitude wouldn't have happened. And the thing I'm most proud of in my basketball career is winning. And there's a lot of other things I could talk about more than that. But because of Chad Mortimer's teaching, the team and the program always comes first. Tyler, though, let's let you chime in before we really get into some fun stories, maybe, and some memories.
Yeah, really quick, there's two things I want to do before I kind of, like, jump in on this. One, you left out his 14 conference titles. Two, I want a, you know, special shout-out and thank you to another coach that recently retired, Coach Mawson, down here at Argus Community Schools for giving me my first opportunity coaching. So I want to just, you know, quick shout him out, as he just retired last week as well. But yeah, I think the thing that impressed me the most with Coach Mortimer was his attention to detail. And I think ultimately that's what made him so successful. Obviously the team thing is an issue, or not an issue, but is something big that I thought that we could take away, you know, kind of help me understand, you know, more man-to-man defense and helping rotation and everything else, those other things, as opposed to the individualistic, you know, ideas that a lot of people think man-to-man defense is, when I'd say, you know, it's almost more team-oriented than zones, if you do it right. So I think that was, you know, one of the biggest things I took from him, his attention to detail. But yeah, the teamwork thing is obviously a, you know, a big reason why he was so successful. I mean, we had a couple of guys back in 2003, you being one of them, who could have had just absolutely insane numbers when either of you wanted it, and your numbers were ultimately, you know, a little bit lower. Like, you could have ran a LeBron AD type 1-2 punch, and instead everybody got involved. Obviously there were a lot of other really, really good players that could have started anywhere else, but because the depth was so insane on that team. But yeah, you guys gave it up and you let other people get involved, and you know, I think it kind of goes back to what we learned from Mortimer.
Yeah, no, I'm really proud of a lot of things with basketball, but you know, I think my high school basketball career, it's definitely up there. You know, and I think the reason why for me it is this is a, you know, bring a lot of stories out. I think that's kind of what I wanted to do today, Tyler, on my end, and this is a fun free show for Tyler and I. For me, I'm going to talk a lot of stories, and I think it'll be enlightening for a lot. When I had graduated, you know, I was really fortunate and blessed to have a really good personal career. And there was a lot of articles and a lot of memories, and it never would have happened without our team's success. And I remember Jerry Waddington was our AD at the time, you remember. And he was very adamant about mentioning to Chad that Tucker should be retired. And I remember, like, number one, it wasn't going to happen. You know, and number two, I think it was a good thing for me now at 37, looking back, going, you know, if it would have been like this personal thing and you know, look at me, I don't think I would have been as good of a player as I was, because I learned right away that no, it's, you know, without my teammates, without certain things, you know, I wouldn't have had some of the personal recognition. So I remember it was a big deal. You know, Jerry had mentioned it, and Chad says, no, this program is not about one player, and one number will never be retired. I actually thought that was a really interesting thing, because there are high schools that retire numbers. They have Wall of Fames. That program will never be like that, and it never was going to be like that under Chad Mortimer. And I think it's actually a good thing. And some people could say, you know, otherwise, I don't think anyone, you know, I've never heard anyone ever say otherwise, and they never will. But my point is, there's a lot of programs that maybe make it about individual players. That was never the case at Hanover. And I think that's why it was so successful. You learned you had to be a part of the program. You learned that you had to win as a team. It helped me a ton in college and as a pro. Like, I did the little things. I mean, with Chad putting the mats on the floor, and you dive on the floor for a loose ball. I mean, I remember many times after high school, Tyler, diving on the floor for a loose ball. Maybe not as much in high school. I did it more after high school. Never would have done that without Mortimer and that coaching.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, put it on the opposite corner of the court, and guys had to run and, you know, get on the floor for it. He was really accurate with that, by the way. That was really impressive to be able to roll the ball, you know, from one corner to the other and get it right when you're going to dive on. He was incredibly accurate. But yeah, I think that you know, you talked about it, and we talked about it. It's the team mentality at Hanover, which is why that program, you know, has seen the success that it has. You know, maybe Mortimer missed out on it. I don't know if it was his best team. It had a lot of similarities with you know, our group back in 03. But 2020 was his best opportunity for sure to get that state championship, and that got cut short. And it's because those little things, it's because that team detail. I mean, I remember going to Dansville, and I've seen like Lindsey Bowen's jersey in the rafters. I've seen, you know, when we went to Coldwater, when we went to Coldwater and we played them, I remember seeing Steve Cherry, who was on Michigan State's 2000 national championship team. I remember seeing his little wall of fame. And so, yeah, it's something that I like. It's, you know, you see a lot of coaches and players do this type of thing. Okay, well, there's no number one in our program, or there's no, you know, like that jersey's just unavailable. There's no wall of fame. There's no retired numbers for even for players who, you know, took a program to a level of success that it's, I don't think, really ever seen before. And it was a very, he handled himself very professionally in a lot of ways.
No, absolutely. I mean, that was the biggest thing that I, you know, when you look at the way he handled himself professionally, as far as preparing to be a coach, taking every game serious, was impressive, because it could have been easy for him to take nights off and not prepare as hard against opponents that weren't as good. Never did that. He prepared the same when I was a freshman as he did when I was a senior. And when I was a freshman, our team was not nearly as good, clearly. And right. I remember his first few years, because, you know, I remember us getting to know him, and you know, he was young. You know, I think Chad, when he first came in, was probably 25 as a head coach.
I think if my math's right, I think he was right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly young to take over a program in a really good conference, by the way. Then it was a really tough conference, because Napoleon and Manchester were really good then. Michigan Center was still pretty athletic. East Jackson had some decent basketball teams. You know, Grass Lake was very athletic. They had good teams. And I remember my freshman year, that's a funny story. You know, I wanted to play varsity basketball as a freshman so bad. I mean, it was probably in my mind as a seventh grader. Getting to know Chad as an eighth grader when he's got the job before my first year of high school, you know, you just knew right away, this guy knows what he's doing. I mean, this guy really knows his stuff. And by the way, when you watched him play, you were like, oh, this guy really knows what he's doing. And I remember asking to try out for varsity, and he said no. And I was shocked because I thought he'd at least let me try out. He goes, no, you're going to play JV. And I was just like, wow. And I was kind of pissed. And I just made sure I did not last long on Stewart's team. I said, I am playing so hard and so well. There's no way this guy can't bring me up, because they just didn't have a point guard. I mean, they had no point guard. They had nobody in that program that knew how to play yet.
Finally, I remember that first game.
And I remember, you know, when he gave us that first scouting report, I'm like, this guy is definitely the real deal. I mean, every single player and their tendencies was broken down. Every single play that they ran was broken down. We went over those plays. And I think he was too much for our program at the time. And I think it was really hard from the first few years, Tyler, because we just were not good enough yet. And then obviously,
he had to build that culture.
Yeah, he had to show people what it takes to win. And in my sophomore year, we started slowly, kind of, you know, we upset Napoleon. That was huge because Napoleon was kind of the class of the league. But, you know, you just knew right away, Tyler, this guy knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, you know, seeing some of those scouting reports. I remember, I think it was a year after you left. And I don't know why I remember this so vividly, but just like the little things that he would do. He sat there and he goes, all right, there's another play. Not even worried about talking to you guys about that. I don't remember who the opponent was. I know I just said I remember it vividly, but I remember the exchange anyways vividly. And our point guard at the time, he goes, I want you pressing. If you know anything about Chad Mortimer, he never pressed. It was half-court man all the time. Obviously, the last couple of years, I think he started switching over to a little bit of zone. And I saw it kind of prevalently during you know, his last tournament run to the Final Four, which – yeah, I mean, I think everybody, even back when we were there, knew that this was going to be his last year. Maybe not like, oh, it's going to be 2021. We just knew it was when his kid graduated, you know. And he was the point guard on a team that went to a Final Four. But I remember he there was this team that ran a certain play, and whatever the play was, it required their point guard to use both of their hands. And so he wanted us to press up on it every single time just so that play would not get called. They would have to try to find something else to do, because you know anything about our fans back then, there was no way you could possibly yell it. You couldn't yell it and have the rest of the team hear. And so he was just trying to do like little things like that. He would never press, but he said, I want you up in his chest the second he catches the ball so he doesn't have the ability to call the play.
Yeah.
And just little things like that, you know, little switches for every game, every opponent scouted. Because if you're, you know, pressing, the dude can't lift up both of his hands to call it. So it was just impressive to watch from the sideline. And it was a big, big reason why I know I said last year was my first year, but I've been trying to get into coaching for a couple of years now, and it's a big reason why I've done that.
Oh, yeah, I think that, you know, we both could agree on that for both of us. You remember, this is a great little, like, I want to continue to do the story time. That was kind of my goal with this show today.
No, I love
the
story
time. This is going to be how we're going to continue this. The best thing I thought, which was hilarious when it comes to preparation, remember, and I think you were on the bench as a manager when we were juniors, correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So remember when he blasted the music and then we had to look at the play cards and old Gary Hall had to hold them up and we had to get used to looking at the play cards because the fans were so loud. And Gary had to hold those sheets up, you know, like he was Josh Gattis on the sidelines for Michigan, except for we actually executed. But, you know, it was just hilarious because it was fun. Like, our guys appreciated that this guy will go to these lengths to make sure that we are 100% prepared for every single thing that is thrown at us. And wasn't that just so much fun when he did that? And I think, of course, he played the Rocky music because that's what we listened to. Remember in the freaking weight room? Did we have day in weight room? Yes, I think we did.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know much about him as, you know, a person outside of the school, outside of the gym and stuff like that. But I'm assuming that was pretty much the extent of his music taste.
No, I don't think it was his. I think it was another coach's. But, you know, there was definitely not going to be any, we were going to be focused. And that was the brunt of the music. They're going to be focused because the Rocky music playing. They can't get down with this.
Yeah, I think it was the same soundtrack that we used when I would do like starting lineups and stuff like that. Like I got the CD or something like that.
Yeah.
When I would call the games or whatever on the PA. So I remember, didn't he, he pranked you once too, getting jerseys, didn't he?
Oh yeah. No, I mean, there's so many stories. I mean, that was pretty known because my fear of snakes was pretty known, and he had to put a snake in a stupid box and told me to grab the jerseys, and I seen the snake and freaked out. You know, he was a prankster. There was a lot of things I got to know about him that were, you know, he was definitely a different character. I always explain this to people, like, you know, he's a different guy. I mean, like, he's not, like, when you get to know him, he's different. You know, he has
a very stoic demeanor otherwise.
He was, like, one of the things I learned, because I played with him a lot, you know, I played on his team. And then, you know, I played a lot of pickup with him in my early years. You know, he would take me to Spring Arbor and we would literally run the court. The one thing I always talk about Chad Mortimer, and I don't think he gets enough credit for this, he was an unbelievable player. You know, Chad was a really good player. And he really was great in his mid to late 20s. When, you know, he was still playing in Gus Mackers, and, you know, he had opportunities to play professional basketball, and a lot of people don't know that. And he was offered a tryout with the CBA Grand Rapids Hoops. A lot of people don't know that. And that was kind of my goal with this show, is for people to realize it wasn't like he was just some coach. This guy played. He played in college. He was a really good player. He was an All-American at the NAIA level. But really, he got good when I was coming up. And I remember we would play in Gus Mackers in the top men's, and the team was, you know, the team he played with his whole life, and they were all small college, very good players. And it was the Jim Glansman, Pete Arts, and Rob Redmond, local guys, and they were like heroes to a lot of people. And playing with him, I thought it was just going to be 3-on-3 basketball. No, like, he was coaching you in 3-on-3s and, like, telling you how to play. And you're like, dude, I don't need this right now. And I remember one of the guys on the team said, you're not coaching us all day. And he did, though. And then you found out you're winning championships playing with this guy. And he just had this way of always having a plan, always kind of being ready for what the opponent was going to do. And, hey, I'm just going to say it. He was going to do whatever it took to win, too, by the way. And that meant getting a little physical. I mean, you know, understanding how to get on the other team's, you know, bad side, but doing it not mean, like, oh, sorry. I mean, his pranking mentality was, I'm going to prank you while beating you, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just different. You know, he had that Billy Hoyle / Luka Doncic, you know, where he was a step ahead of everybody and he didn't think he was going to be any good and he was crushing.
Yeah, and I think that really was ultimately what kind of prepared him for coaching too. You know, you talked about his playing days. Like, he was a really, really good basketball player. And, you know, people didn't I mean, there's a lot of people who didn't really think that right away. But, yeah, he knew what it took to win, and I think that's a credit to you know, what he did as a player. I mean, I like I said, I knew he was a good player, and I knew played in the Dakotas, but I had no idea he was an NAIA All-American.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I was coming up, the one thing I found out, like, we're completely different personalities, but we had the same mentality. And then, like, the thing about it is, though, like, when you want to win, though, you're the same person, really. Like, my thing was, I want to win no matter what. I hate to lose. And he was the same way. And we were very close when it came to basketball because of that. And I remember when we had, you know, you stop playing after a while. And Chad, you know, used to always tell me, you know, you'll know when it's over because you just don't have it anymore. And we would still play and still find a way to be good even towards the end of our careers. And I remember, you know, one of his players who was a very good player. I won't name him because I would never want him to listen to this and be embarrassed because it was embarrassing what happened to them. Chad basically looked at me and said, these two guys think they're good. You know, that's their best player, Lumen, and this is obviously our best player. Let's play him 2-on-2 and just see what they got. And I said, okay. And Chad's going to get so mad if he ever listens to this, but I'm just going to say it. I've heard him swear only a few times, and he said, let's kick their ass. I said, this guy means business because he never swears. And we played these seniors who were very, very good, and we won 11-1. And the reason we won is because Chad Mortimer is a hell of a coach, and he told me everything that I needed to know before we played him. Hey, this is what this guy does, and that's what the other guy does, and we're going to win. And it was just, you know, I won so much being on this guy's team, whether I was playing for him or playing with him. And, you know, he's going to be missed, Tyler. I mean, he's going to be missed. And, I mean, you just, whoever is going to be that coach, best of luck. Because that would be never a job I would take, because I wouldn't want to handle the pressure of trying to live up to that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, if you're able to maintain that semblance of success, you know, good on you. You know, you deserve it. But there's, to have the success that he did at what's ultimately, like, it is a basketball school, but it's disguised as a football school. It's in the middle of nowhere. A lot of corn-fed type toys that would look like a high school version of Wisconsin football is what it ultimately looks like. And you get these bigger guys who he's able to sit there and take multi-sport athletes, guys who, you know, are just really good at football, they're really good at baseball, and turn them into really good basketball players and find ways to utilize them because in a manner that is the only way that they can be utilized because they are better at other sports, you know. I know we had someone who went on to play Division I baseball, and he was an incredible baseball player, and the way Mortimer used him, he made you think that he could play like small college basketball too. And we had a really good running back on our football team, just a bulldozer, just rolled people over and everything else. And Mortimer found a way to, it's like, this guy doesn't have the body of a basketball player. He's the body of a football player. It's not even close. There's no question about it. This guy is a football player through and through. And for whatever reason, as undersized as he was, you know, Coach Mortimer was able to turn him into a lockdown post defender, as undersized as he was. Like, it was incredible to see what he was able to do with these different types of athletes.
Yeah, well, I think this is important for me to say. I mean, we can name them, some of these guys, and I know that, you know, you probably would have, but, you know, I'll just name them for you, and we'll do it this together. And the biggest thing what I got with Chad's career is, like, when he first started, he had to completely figure out how to change the culture. And then he was, you know, fortunate. Our class definitely helped get things rolling, but I'm not going to take any, you know, full credit for that because these other classes did a great job as well. But our class was probably the first exciting, fun class, of course, that got people behind the program. And then everyone else kind of took it and ran with it. And you're a huge part of that as well, Tyler. But when you look at our kid, you know, like obviously, you know, Ryan played small college. Jake played some small college. You know, I was fortunate enough to play. But guys like Dan Weaver and Scotty Moore were football kids. Like Tyler's saying, they were more accustomed to other sports and probably fit into other sports. And Chad really made them outstanding basketball players. And then you look at the Tony Williams, who's a baseball kid. I mean, this kid grew up a baseball player. And he became a really good basketball player. And you know, you look at kids like Garth Teller and Presley, you know, and you know, Olsen, and you know, you look at those type of kids, and you know, Corey Wortman, you know, I mean, he made those kids. Diedrich, I mean, those are kids that, you know, all of us are not great athletes technically. I mean, we're not jumping out of the gym, but those are kids that he made really good basketball players out of, and you know, they bought in. Of course, it's their. They have a lot to do with it. But yeah. He was able to take those kids who probably wouldn't have been as successful with an average coach. You know, like I know for a fact I wouldn't have been as successful with an average coach. No way. You know, I wouldn't have had the passion for the sport without a really good high school coach like Chad Mortimer. And I think every single kid that played for him would say that he made me better and he made me love the game more. And then when you looked at like some other middle years and he had some, you know, the first Laketa kid and then, you know, Nick Schaefer's of the world, you know, the Tyler Halls of the world that were really, you know, good players. I know I'm going to leave someone out, but, you know, and then you look at the Stephon Young who comes in and these kids transfer here now. That was kind of the end of his years where kids wanted to go there now. Like, I want to play at Hanover because why would I not? And, you know, you're getting the Jay McMillers who come in. And you're getting the Laketa family and all those kids. And then that group stuck together with the Mitchell Saubers and the Laketas. And you know, you look at Donovan Kennedy, who was a really good player who came up through the program. He was able to work with transfers. He was able to work with kids who were homegrown. He was able to work with kids who were not great basketball players, but became really good players. He was able to work with guys like me who had passion and other kids who had passion and made them better. He pretty much 100%, Tyler, knocked it out of the park. And I don't think I've ever seen a coach do that, like that.
Yeah, watch. Like I said, man, he got you in the position to be where to be successful is what he did. You know, I'm not saying I agree with everything he did as a coach, but at the same time, like, you know, he, like I said, what it took, and he did it. And so you have to give him credit, and he, for my money, you know, he retired, he was the best coach in the state of Michigan. You know, he didn't have Keith Gray, Jalen Terry's, and those guys who are winning state championships at Beecher, because he, like I said, if we were from a hick town, you don't get Division I athletes out the yin yang like that. And so the fact that he was able to work with it and made this Hanover Horton, the small farm town contender, absolutely huge. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, credit to him. And yeah, you got to be dumb to take.
Yeah, who in the right mind? You know, like someone asked me, clearly, you know, my wonderful story, which there'll be a book out. Tyler will be in chapters of my book when it comes out, because one day I will have one and it'll be the craziest. You know, there'll be a lot of stories of Tyler Hayward in there. And
can we leave?
And if I have, we will leave some stuff out. Don't worry.
Okay.
But, but you know, Chad, if I ever really do. That was a goal of mine in my life one day, is to write a book. You know, I've said that from high school. You know, I was really into it. And I'll probably have Tyler write it for me as I talk. That would be the best way to do it, because that's kind of how we've always been. You know, Tyler's going, yes, please let me write it. One of the things. Yeah, exactly. There's just one of the things that when, you know, personally for me, and why I'm really so thankful I played for Chad was, you did feel like it was like life, man. I mean, basketball was life then. You know, ball is life is this phrase now. basketball was really life for me then, and he was the reason. Where it wasn't like that until he came there, where I loved basketball, but I was kind of starting to like other things just as much. When Chad Mortimer arrived, my passion for the game of basketball went right back to where it was when I was a little kid, and it made me want to have bigger goals and dreams with it, and I appreciate him for that. I hope we can get him on one day. Maybe he'll shock the hell out of us and come on, which I don't think he will.
Oh, that would be so dope.
You know, and I talk to Chad still, you know, and, you know, coaching against him, playing with him as a teammate, playing for him, you know, very thankful. And I think it's made me, you know, really has helped me in my basketball life. I'll tell you that much. But we're appreciating him today. And I think we'll do another part of this, Tyler. I think we have so much to talk about, and hopefully we can get him on. This could be somewhat like our last dance last year, which was a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all about that. You know, there's three things to do if you're playing basketball. You like it, you love it, or you live it. He was definitely somebody who lived it. And look, he said he's not done in one respect or another. So we'll see what happens when that time comes. But yeah, I think that's a good note to end on today. And we should definitely, you know, continue this and, you know, maybe more in detail with the stories.
Yeah, maybe we'll get one of the, you know, another player as well. If, you know, getting Chad is always hard, even for local TV and radio. So if yeah, they have a hard time with it, we're going to have a hard time with it. So maybe we'll get a few former players, and that will make this exciting. I know there's a bunch of guys that would love to jump on. JTV obviously had our starting five of 03 on, which I thought, you know, I didn't want to do it, but I did it. You know, this is more fun for me talking with Tyler, who was a coach. You know, I always call him a coach, even though, you know, you can say manager, but he was there in practice every day. You were there and you got to learn from a really, really great coach. So you're going to do just fine as well, buddy. In
still half my stuff from him at least.
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm feeling bad about my life, this is my, pathetic, I just go downstairs and go, oh, well, at least I won then. When I'm having a losing day in life, I go down to my basement like, oh, look at, there's Tyler, and look at the winning. Yeah, it's pathetic, I know, but, you know, we when you win 50 basketball games in 2 years, you know, you got to give credit to where it's due, and the credit goes to the head coach, and we were fortunate to play for him. So, Tyler, we'll get back on here. I appreciate it, as always, you jumping on this platform again. Life and Ball Podcast, follow me, J File Lab, or Tyler Hayward on Facebook. We will share this, and let's get some people listening to this and get some feedback. Come on. You know, it's nice to talk local. Local stuff is fun. So thanks again, T. We'll get another part to this. We'll try to get some more players, or maybe we'll get lucky and we'll get the man himself to join us and talk some memories. So anything to close out with, Tyler, while we head out?
Nope, let's do it.
His baby is crying. We're ready to go. Thanks again for tuning in. Life and Ball Podcast, Chad Mortimer. We salute you. Thank you for all your years. Incredible numbers. Tons of championships. Tons of memories.